I love Christmas time. I love the Advent time. I'm delighted when we light the Advent candles. And in so doing, I watch as everybody else watches whoever's lighting the candle. And everybody's saying, is it going to light? Is it going to light? And then, lo and behold, the light comes. 4 Sundays before Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve, we will be lighting the Christ candle. All the light of the world comes from Jesus. I hope you'll be able to be here at Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock. It's a wonderful time when we can rejoice on that day together. Now, you know that last week was the first Sunday in Advent. This is the second Sunday in Advent. And during this last Sunday, today, and next Sunday, we're going to be concentrating on the Christmas star, sometimes called the Bethlehem star. And we know that the Bethlehem star points to the babe of Bethlehem. And while the babe of Bethlehem came as Jesus, God incarnate, God Emmanuel, God with us in this world, he didn't always remain a baby. He became our Savior and our Lord, for which we praise God. Let's review a very familiar passage of Scripture that we find in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse number 1. Let us hear the word of God. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent into Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our God, and our Redeemer. Previously, we discussed that this word star in this passage of Scripture appears 4 times. Interesting, it does not appear anywhere else in the New Testament. And over 3 weeks, last week, this week, and next week, we're looking at 3 aspects of this, the Bethlehem star. We're looking that it was a guiding light, it was a guarding light, and it was a gladdening light or star. This is what is before us. So last week, we looked that it was a guiding star, and we discovered that these wise men had to travel along vast distances and among varied dangers. How true that was. It's true in the Middle East even today, but back then it was also true, particularly as these wise men, these kings, these magi, were coming all the way from a land far east of Israel and coming finally to Israel itself. They did this in order to fulfill what they knew they had to do. And what was it they had to do? They had to go from where they were to where the king was, and they were intent on coming to pay obeisance, to worship him. You'll notice in the scripture reading today that they saw Mary and the babe, and then they worshiped him. They did not worship Mary, they worshiped Jesus. Also, not only was it a guiding star, but also it was a guarding star. And that's what we're going to take a look at this morning, a guiding star. And this guiding star verified the promise of Scripture and signified the presence of a Savior. Two important things: verify the promises of Scripture and signify the presence of the Savior. So let us turn to God's Word again as we read these. After they heard the king, now that would be King Herod, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. We do not want to gloss over too quickly the words King Herod. He was known as a great builder in his day and age, but he was a very wicked king. Very wicked. We'll learn more about that in just a moment. Interesting. Herod very much was like people today. He absolutely ignored the Scripture. And when we think about the world around us, there are people who look at the Word of God and do not believe it's the Word of God. And even some people who look at the Bible as being a holy book, they neglect it. And what's important for you and for me is that we always have the Word of God in our head, in our mind, and in our heart. And it's good for us to refer to the Word of God every single day of the year. Don't let a day go by without reading a portion of Scripture and seeing how God will use that Scripture for you at the time. They ignore the Scripture. For Herod, he clearly ignored the Scripture. Anything it said about a king, anything it said about a Messiah coming, he was not prepared to accept this at all. In fact, I think my history is correct on this. I think he actually killed a couple of his children because they did not want them to take over the throne from him. For the religious Jew, the Scripture was a promise of a coming Messiah. For Herod, it was a threat. He was king, self-proclaimed king in Israel. And then here he hears that a boy has been born as a king, and he looks at this as being a threat. For many people, believers in particular, we also know that when the Savior was born, it was the fulfillment of a promise that was given. But to others, it's a threat. People today simply do not want to know that before a righteous God, they're sinners. And before a righteous God, they're sinners and they are an offense to God. God cannot even be in the presence of sin in that sense. And so people today often just simply ignore what the Scripture has to say. They don't realize in their life of sin they have deeply offended the Lord, and there's going to be a payment day someday. They need to come to the point of recognizing that they are sinners and they need a Savior. The wise men traveled from the east a long distance to Israel, to Jerusalem. They did what all foreign dignitaries would do. Their first act was to come to the king of the country, and they went to King Herod in Jerusalem. Remember now, the star had led them to a certain point, and now they went to the king, thinking in their minds, the king of Israel, he would certainly be knowledgeable about where this new Christ king was born. So, of course, we know that Herod didn't know. And after consulting the chief priests and the teachers of the law, Herod told them what to do, where to go, and he also told them what he wanted them to do. This was not good. These wise men, however, did what? They continued to follow the star to the place where the child was, and indeed, they were wise men. There's a life lesson here for you and for me. The world and the culture of the world will often tell us what we should do and where we should go. And sometimes the where we should go is not a most pleasant place at all. However, that's what the world says. We are to be guided by and guarded by the Word of God. That's why it's so vital that we take into our minds and hearts what the Word of God is all about. The Christmas star was a guiding star, and it is a guarding star. As a guiding star, It verified the promise of the scripture. Even the chief priests and the teachers of the law had to admit what was written in prophecy and in the book of Micah. And then this is what it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah." Now, apparently there were a number of small towns named Bethlehem, but this was Bethlehem very specifically. Ephrathah was a word that was used. It was an ancient term for the then modern day Bethlehem. So the scripture is specific in saying that this is the Bethlehem where it is going to happen. So the scripture says, "But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, although you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times." And of course, we read similar words like this in Matthew's gospel. People can say today, and many do, that the Bible is not true. And if this is the case, what do they think about Christmas Day? Do they think that Christmas Day has actually been determined as a day to remember the birth of Christ? We know that there are people today who want us to move away from saying Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas or Blessed Christmas. We know that people today say we just want it to be a holiday. And in my mind, sadly, there are many people throughout the world who just take Christmas Day as a holiday and for no other reason at all. But believers, it's different for you and for me. We know that Christmas Day is the day set aside to honor the birth of our Lord. Now, you've heard from various people over the years that Christmas Day is probably the day on which Jesus was not born, and that's true. It probably was not. It seemed to be convenient when they put the calendar together that they would have this day of worship. Jesus was probably born more in the spring of the year, but nonetheless, we have a day set aside when people of the world can worship what Christmas is all about, that it's Christ's birthday. Christmas, that is the Savior's birth, is the beginning of over 333 promises or prophecies in Scripture concerning the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, the victory our Lord had over hell, death, and the grave. So we have seen the fulfillment of a number of these prophecies in the life of Christ. God, through his word, told all who would listen that one day a Savior would be born. And then on that day, some 2,000 plus years ago, that's when the Savior was born. In the Old Testament, of course, the Savior's coming or his advent is well documented. In the New Testament, we read about Jesus explaining, now this is after Jesus was a man and after he was crucified and then resurrected, and then he was walking with two people on the way, they're going from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. And Jesus pulled up along beside them, and they didn't know it was him. I don't know why, maybe he just veiled himself to them. But anyway, these two men on the way to Emmaus, and Jesus was talking to them, and the scripture tells us that he began to unfold the scripture, which would have been the Old Testament, before them and point out all the prophecies in Scripture that pointed to him. And then when they got to the end of their destination, they had a meal together. And when they had a meal together, that's when their eyes were opened and they came to realize who this was really Jesus. Not just Jesus, but the resurrected Jesus. He was with them. And I often thought how wonderful it would have been to be there that day, to hear Jesus himself. What a Bible lesson it would be to hear Jesus himself tell about all the prophecies in the Old Testament that pointed to him. Or what about the chief priests and the teachers of the law? They knew the scripture regarding a coming Messiah. It seems as though when Herod asked them, some of them, to come and say, "Where is this king to be born?" they knew the answer right off the bat. We don't read in Scripture they went off and researched it. No, it seems as though they knew immediately. And in knowing immediately, they knew that a Savior was coming. They knew a Messiah was coming. They knew a king was coming. But they didn't know he was coming right then. And that started me thinking, we know that Jesus is going to return. He's going to return to this earth to establish his kingdom. Before that, he's going to call his church home to be with him. And I started to think, we know this. We know what's going to happen. The rapture is going to occur. Jesus is going to come back at the end of that and establish his kingdom. But I wonder how many of us say it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. Or I wonder how many of us say we know it's going to happen, but we're not ready yet. Now, the important thing is that you and I are ready to meet our Savior when that day comes. I think that if the scribes and priests and teachers of the law, if they had expected Jesus to come right then, they didn't, because they just gave the information. But if they knew, if this was their thinking at the time, they'd say, since the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, and since these magi have come all the way from the east to worship him, and since they believe that Jesus is the king of the Jews, then let us get ready and go and worship him at the same time. But they did not. They sent the wise men off on their own to worship. They didn't think that Jesus was coming yet, or the Messiah was coming yet. They knew he was coming. They weren't ready. They needed to be ready. We need to be ready. This star was a guiding star, and a guiding star. And as a guiding star, it verified the promise of the scripture, and it also signified the presence of the Savior. We read these words. The star stopped over the place where the child was. And we also read, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, I'm trying to put myself in the midst of the wise men. As they came to Herod the king, they heard his warning, told him to go there and then come back to tell him so that he could go and worship the king. I can tell you, this was the furthest thing from Herod's mind. He had no intention of worshiping this new king, a threat to him. But I think of the wise men. It seems as though, this is speculation on my part, it seems as though the star guided them all the way from wherever they were in a far east country to the land of Israel. Then they went to Jerusalem to visit the king. It seems as though the star wasn't evident to them at that point, wasn't visible. Anyway, Herod then told them to go to Bethlehem, which is about 8 kilometers away. So they decided with their entourage. Remember, we determined previously it wasn't just 3 kings or 3 wise men. There was a whole entourage of people, perhaps 200 people who were traveling. They had to have food for themselves and their animals and all the trip and so on. Anyway, they're now going from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And then they saw the star again. And not only that, the star hovered over the house where the child was. The child was no longer in a manger, was in a house in Bethlehem. And so, this is a marvelous story. Can you just imagine seeing the star, following the star, apparently not apparent during their time in Jerusalem. But then when they're on their way to Bethlehem, the star appears and it hovers over the house where the child lay. They were simply overjoyed. They listened to Herod as to where to go to find this king, but they did not follow his instructions to go back to him. Herod was a very wicked man. Let's look at a part of the Christmas story that we don't say too often at Christmas time, but just before we get to that, let's remember this. The wise men, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So obviously there was more than one route from the east into Israel. And they were going another way. They knew the king was born because of the star. They followed the star. And then God spoke to them in a dream. In a dream, and said, do not go back to Herod. Herod, go the other way. God had his hand of approval on this star, his hand of approval on these wise men. They were doing what they knew they had to do, and they fulfilled their task, and then God sent them back to that part of the country. I just find it amazing that we think about the star traveling, leading them all the way, and then stopping over where Jesus was. This had to be supernatural. It wasn't something that mankind could do. It was supernatural. We don't know anything further about what happened to the star after that, but what we do know is it pointed them to the Savior. Now then, the part of the scripture that we don't read too often, we read these. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. I think he was furious not because they didn't obey him, but they outwitted him. And he didn't like to be in that position. And he gave the orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and younger, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. 2 years. Probably Jesus was about 2 years old when the wise men finally got there. But Herod was going to kill all baby boys, and he sent the order. Can you imagine being a soldier in Herod's army and being told to go into the town away in Bethlehem and its vicinity and find every baby boy 2 years of age and younger and kill them? Can you imagine being that soldier? I don't know how the soldiers ever did it, how they ever fulfilled this task that Herod had given them. There was great weeping and great mourning that day that took place in Bethlehem. I can't even imagine how horrible it would be, the heartbreak that would be brought to families. Through it all, however, the star of Christmas, the star of Bethlehem, led the wise men many miles to the east of it, from the east of Israel to a great distance, long distance they had to come in order to worship the king. They brought their gifts. They bowed down. They knew who he was. They worshiped him. There are those who try to tell us that you're just kidding yourself. Jesus never lived. Or then there are those who say, well, he lived. He was a good man. I remember preaching a message one time at another church. It was a funeral message. And I got a letter from somebody in the congregation that day saying, you took advantage of this situation. You took advantage because you told us about Jesus as being Savior, but you didn't tell us about all the good that he did. You had a captive audience. Well, I answered back and I said, this church was based on the foundation that Jesus is Lord. It wasn't this building, it was another one, that Jesus is Lord. So the service was held in this building. So therefore, you should not be surprised that Jesus was preached and taught. You should not be surprised that we emphasize that Jesus is the only way in order for us to get from where we are into heaven for all eternity. People have this idea. He was a good man, but they don't look upon him as being the Savior of the world. They don't look upon him as being their Savior. However, the wise men worshiped. Herod would never have gone to worship. He wanted to kill the Christ child. That's what he had in mind. That's what he was determined to do. Of course, he was outwitted. Jesus was alive and alive forevermore. There are people who believe that Jesus lived and died and he was never resurrected. Wrong. He is resurrected. You and I need to remember. Our theology is he was born of a virgin and he lived and he died and he died on a cross and he was buried and he rose again the third day and he's coming back again. He's alive forevermore. We worship a living Savior, not one who is dead and in a tomb somewhere. Thinking back to the wise men traveling the great distance to get from wherever they were in an eastern country to Israel, I'm reminded of a band of refugees who were crossing the eastern desert. And they were running away from their overseers, the people who didn't want them to leave. And they were hiding en route as they went. And then came a very dark night, and they were lost. They didn't know where they were or where they were going, and they were very, very nervous because they thought for sure that the rulers of the country that they came from, that the rulers were going to catch up to them. And then, after a very long, dark anxious, fearful night, the sun arose. The sun arose in the east, and they knew where they were, and they knew where they had to go, and they said they would never, ever forget that sunrise, because that sunrise told them where they were and where they were going to go. And I was thinking that the wise men would never, ever forget the star that they saw, the star that led them, the star and the God of the star who protected them. What a glorious day that was for them. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, well steeped in everything that they understood theologically, knew that there was a day when the Messiah would come. Apparently, they didn't know it was that day. It was that day. In our own day, there are those who try to tell us that Jesus never came to earth. Others tell us that he likely came to earth, but he died and he never did resurrect. And I've gone through that just a moment ago, but I'm emphasizing it because there are so many people who believe that today. But believers are different. We know differently. We know who he is. We know what he's done for us. We know that he rose again from the grave. He had victory over hell, death, and the grave, not only for himself, but for you and for me. And we know that he's coming back again someday as well. For believers, it is different. We know. Yes, we know. And that's why we use Advent as a build-up to keep our attention on the birth of the Christ child. Christmas tide signifies that Jesus was indeed born to be our Savior. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict people of their sin, convince people that they need a Savior, and to glorify God. And when we accept Christ as Savior, his Holy Spirit comes to live within. And so therefore, we have that task with the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction. We have that of convicting of sin, not judging, but just convicting of sin, also of convincing people that they need a Savior and that our actions would do its part to glorify God. Some time ago, I think maybe last week, I said that this star of Christmas leads us to the Christ child. Christmas time, Christmas Day, can lead us to the Christ child, to Christ our Savior. And when we think about it, even as we are thinking today, when we want to be at this Christmas time, can not only lead us to Christ, but can be used by us and the Holy Spirit working through us to lead others to the Savior. What a wonderful Christmas gift it would be if a member of your family or somebody in your neighborhood or somebody that you know, because of your witness, because of your sharing, they too would put their trust in Jesus. Wouldn't that be a wonderful Christmas gift? Father, we thank you for the Christmas star. We thank you for the star of Bethlehem. We thank you that it pointed the wise men to come into the presence of the Christ child and to worship him. And Lord Jesus, may we, each one, worship you every day of the week, not just on Sundays. May we bow down before you. May we be open to your word. May we read your word, listen to your word, apply your word. May we, O God, be a star to others, that they will be attracted not to us, but to you. And for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.